hoe, and that's on me. What is up, every? Oh man, I screwed up. I screwed up already. I forgot to put it off there. We got
Corey. What's up?
Show the gloves again so that they know for sure it's you.
Let's do it. Let's do it here. Let's do this.
But I screwed the whole thing up. No, that's
what's up, Cut Day? What's going on? Ramage, damage, damage, ramage. Let's do this.
We are in this thing. Thank you all for tuning in to the Matt Ramage Show, presented by Quick Trip. Quick Trip, if you go to quicktripmerch.com, they got their summer gear there. It's going away probably fast. I don't know what I'm supposed to say. But they got their summer merch, and, you know, fall's coming. So I think they said that they were, trying to. Anyways, go to quicktripmerch.com. Get all the merch they got. Get the Quick Trip Rewards app. You can't win a Corvette anymore. I think it ended today. So someone's going to win a Quick Trip Corvette. And so shout out to that person. Come take it for a ride. Anyways, shout out to Quick Trip, sponsor the show. Now we got Corey Bankany in the building.
Quick Trip.
We got Cheesehead TV co-creator is in the building. I want to say what's up to some of the people who are tuning in. We got a lot to talk about today.
Oh, cut day. Cut down day, baby. Let's do it. I got some notes.
Dude, Corey Bankany's got notes. I do not. I spent all day after work making this overlay that you see here. I know it's fancy. You guys are like, wow, he's got a producer now. No, that was just me. I fully agree with this comment here. Anyway, so how have you been, Corey? Like, how is off? I think, well, first of all, we met for the first time in person. I just ran up on the house and I just started jumping around by the outside the fence. Corey was like, I guess I'll let this guy in.
My traps didn't work.
He's got a few. Anyone who saw my Instagram stories, see that.
Yeah, on your birthday, I got to hang out with you on your birthday. That was fun, man. Have some beers, think about some funny stuff. You know, maybe we came up with some stuff for the season we can't talk about right now. You know, we'll see.
Yeah, we might have some stuff brewing in the old brewing department. But but first, before we get into this, you guys have a cool thing coming up.
Yes, sir.
This season, you have. First of all, I have a video I want to show everyone, and then we're gonna talk about all the Packers stuff. We're gonna talk about the punters. We're going to talk about – a lot of people want me to ask you about this punter situation. They traded for a punter. We're going to do all those things, talk about all the cutdowns. We're going to – but I want to play this video from Cheesehead TV and to talk a little bit about this, what they got going on in the 2021 NFL Green Bay Packers season. And I'm going to get this ready. Here we go. This is it right here. On the podcast,
I'm hype.
I'm gonna put this on the podcast too, and that made no sense to you, that music at this place. Cheesehead TV, I played a video. Cheesehead TV has AJ Dillon on a weekly show this season,
Monday nights.
Do you guys know like what time that is gonna be at? I don't know if you posted it out yet, but either way, Monday nights,
it'll be the basically it'll be the night after the game. If the game's on a Monday night, it'll be on a Tuesday night.
Yeah, so dude, that. That's awesome.
It's going to be awesome, dude. It's going to be if you saw our you saw our draft content coverage. Didn't you come on one of the days? I can't remember.
I don't remember if I did. I was
anyway, first night we had AJ on, and it's going to be same kind of format. Nagler's in the studio in New York. AJ and then a group of like, you know, us basically. I think we're going to try to get you as a guest contributor throughout the season. So, like, you know, four to five, like, Cheesehead TV, Twitter, you know, Twitterverse, YouTubeverse, regular collaborators, with AJ, maybe doing some crazy TikTok stuff together, maybe doing some challenges. Like, it's going to be a little bit more than just your normal, like, hey, let's just talk about football and X's and O's and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Joey. What's up, Joey?
Joey's in the building. No, I think it's awesome because, like, like similar to like what Aaron Rodgers does with Pat McAfee. It's not all. It's not just like a boring, like, the average interview.
I hope so.
Yeah, because like that's what I think is cool about the Aaron Rodgers with Pat McAfee thing. Is that it's not just that boring thing. It's like talking as humans, having a good time. Anyways.
Yeah, and you're talking. I want to hear like I want to talk about like cultural stuff with him and like you know what's going on, not just football stuff. So it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, I think it'll be fantastic. So everyone, check out Cheesehead TV this season every Monday night, and if it's a Monday night game, then Tuesday night. It's gonna be fantastic. I'm definitely gonna be watching. Anyways, let's talk about today. Some stuff happened today.
Some stuff happened, and now some more stuff's going to happen, and then they'll finally figure it out where this 53 lands. But today, today a lot of crazy big news, a lot of weird, all the story threads kind of closing out from training camp, all the, you know, Matt, I really don't like saying goodbye to pre-camp, I'm going to be honest with you. It's a beautiful time, you know, and you know what I'm talking about. You've actually spent a lot of time in the last, you know, 3 or 4 weeks here in Green Bay, and it's just like, it's that end of summer vibe when everything is possible and, you know, there's players riding on bikes. There's people that are coming here for the first time. It's, you know, it's good stuff, man. It's good stuff. And today marks that day where it's kind of like nearing the end and we're getting into the regular season, which is really the most exciting time in life. Let's be honest, right?
Dude, like preseason to me is like, like since I've been like, especially doing this show and like, just like as an adult where I can appreciate it, going down to training camp, just walking around. Like last year we didn't have it, so it really was like when you had some, maybe you took it for granted and it got yanked from you.
Yep.
But I love it. I went to 2 preseason games this season. I don't remember all of them. Because, dude, let me explain that for a minute, because like people like would be like, they would ask me questions like, what did you think about this guy? What did you think about that guy? I was like, dude, because I was at the game, and I was like, well, I kind of got hammered. I was in preseason. Preseason to me is like a party. It's not – like, I get it. I'm a podcaster, so I'm supposed to, like, watch and, like – I don't do that, though.
I was about to say.
Yeah, I'm not an expert. You can watch Aaron Nagler.
I mean, don't you pretty much just walk around the stadium and people recognize you and they try to buy you a beer? Is that this is what I'm imagining, right? When you go around Lambeau. I had Grassi here Tom Grassi himself, and I was like, okay, what's it like to walk around the block at Lambeau? Like, what's that like now? It's kind of crazy, right?
Yeah, I saw him talk about that a little bit, like how people treat him like a rock star. It is cool. Like, I had really trash seats. I was like way up on top. I paid $6 for him for the seat.
Hey, can't beat that.
And someone's like, hey, I want to meet you. You want a beer? I'm like, yeah, I definitely want a beer. And then they brought me up a beer all the way up like the section 745 or whatever it was. But I love it, dude. Like, well, preseason to me is like you're getting in season mode, you know, as a fan. I think fans need it too. Yep. And we have a good time at preseason. It's just a big, I wouldn't say a drunk fest, but it kind of is that, you know.
It kind of is, because, like, here's what's great. Like, coach decides the practices, right? And so coach don't care about a Monday or a Sunday or a Tuesday. Like, he doesn't care. So you just have these beautiful moments where it's like in the middle of summer and it's a Monday night and you're hanging out with beat reporters, you know, getting wasted. So it's like, it's just it's fun, you know. It's fun. It's one of those rare moments where everybody can kind of come together and they're all here, and you kind of, it's not like trying to be like a camp or anything, but it's just this vibe of like, hey, we're all doing a job, and this is kind of a moment where people can get together in the quote-unquote media and the blogosphere and Twitterverse and, you know, YouTubeverse and all those things, and it's fun. And, you know, and I think it's gotten a little bigger. It's gotten bigger as social media has gotten bigger, and, you know, it's gonna be good. The season's going to be on, you know? I feel it. You feel it?
Dude, I feel it, baby. I feel it. Mark. Shout out to Mark. He watches every show. I don't know anything about that, Mark. I'm married, but preseason's fun. You know, you go out there. I don't watch games like a lot of podcasters who are like smart, like Aaron Nagler's and Andy Herman's, who are like smart and like, I'm analyzing this.
I actually watch their show so I could be better on this show, Matt. I'm gonna be honest with you.
And now this show's about to get a lot better. Now we're gonna start talking about football.
No, exactly.
But, Now we're on to the regular season. I love the preseason. Like I say, I love training camp. I don't want to say I love the preseason. I really don't love preseason.
No.
I love when I go to the games because it's easier to go to games in preseason. And when I was young, I didn't want to go to preseason games. Like, well, these players are not playing. But now it's like, it's kind of fun. It's like a little party. But the regular season, when that last preseason game is played, first of all this talk, I want to talk about this before we get it. All this talk about, you didn't win any games. You didn't win any preseason.
No one cares.
No one cares about preseason, but some people do.
No, like people why?
I work with, like they don't, I don't know if, maybe just because I started.
No, talking. You know who does? Vikings fans.
Oh, that they really care.
Bears fans. Lions fans. Because you'll take it anywhere you can get it. You
know? I know that. Hey, we won a game, bro. This might not happen that much.
That was fun. I haven't experienced that in a while, man. That's cool. Let's do it again.
Yeah, it's like Justin Fields plays well in the preseason game. And they're like, oh, man, we got our guy. We're going to get in Super Bowls. They're comparing to Michael Jordan. Like, they're like, Chicago's back, baby. Jordan Love, has a few good series even, and people are happy. And they're like, no, it's just preseason. It does. And so it's like, I say just preseason, like, no matter what. Like, if a guy plays well,
yeah.
I'm not too amped. If he plays bad, I'm not going to get too upset. Because you don't know whatever the coaches are doing. I don't care.
Yeah, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, but
no,
like,
I hear you, but I am excited about Jordan Love. I think overall what we saw from Jordan Love, it was unfortunate that he couldn't play as much in the second game, but it what we saw to Jordan Love, haters be damned, I think I like it. I mean, if you look at where Aaron Rodgers was in his second season and you look at where Jordan Love is in his second season, I kind of feel good about where things stand right now. I actually feel good about our second string quarterback for the first time in probably TBLS was almost there, but did you really feel good? Like, when's the last time you felt good about your backup quarterback?
Probably Aaron Rodgers was...
Doug Peterson? Yeah, Aaron Rodgers.
The thing is, because, like, I think me and you are very similar. I made a joke today. I made a tweet like, Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee's show. Jordan Love come on my show every week, And, I was obviously he's not going to. If he wanted to go on a show, he could pick one a lot better than mine. He would have lots of options.
Hey, I'm not laughing because he wouldn't be on your show. I'm laughing because that would be a pretty hilarious show, honestly.
It would be.
I was envisioning it for a hot second.
It got like a lot of, I wouldn't say a lot, but it got a little bit of tension on Twitter. And then someone like tweeted me.
It get tension on Twitter?
Because like
the way you presented it?
Yeah, because people are like, yeah, that'd be awesome. Probably because they're like, I would love to watch this train wreck of Matt trying to have Jordan Love on and try to talk. And the dude was like, why are we amping up Jordan Love when he's in competition with Aaron Rodgers? Like, no, he's not. He's not in competition with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is a starting quarterback. Yeah. I was like, dude, the way he was going on about it, no hate to this guy, because I was going to put his tweet up on the screen because I don't want to hate on this guy. I get what he was saying.
So wait. What is the line that someone has to cross before you will quote unquote hate on them?
I don't know. I don't like to hate on.
But wait, like what would this guy would have had to do to be like he would have had to like talk shit about your family or like go cross a line or something?
I don't even
but
know.
For you to show the tweet, because I'm like, see, I would just be like, yo, just show the tweet. Like every day I draft at least like one or two tweets that never see the light of day and go into drafts. And then I basically read them for Aaron Nagler every like 2 months and then I delete them. I'm like, they got to get heard. So maybe I'll do that. Maybe next time I'll see you, I'll do that. You and I can do that. You'll read me your drafted tweets, your drafted hate tweets.
That's what I should do. Instead of just like hit and delete. I just save
draft, and then we'll make some content off of it. It'll be funny.
No, but like this dude was saying is like, I'll support him if he's on another team. Like, dude, for me, like, I support guys like every single player on the team. Like, I get like there's some guys that make you mad and you yell at your TV and you're like, should have caught that or should have done this better or whatever. But like he was like saying like you can't like support Jordan Love because. Aaron, we want Aaron Rodgers for all these years. I'm like, first of all, because he was talking to me like I was media. Like, I work at a cheese factory. Like, I'm not media. I just happen to have a little show here, and some people watch. Like, it's not that serious for me. Like, I don't know. First of all, having Jordan Love on my show is, that would be awesome.
That would be awesome. I would watch it.
Why wouldn't a Packer fan want to talk to Jordan Love? I'd like to talk to any player. I don't know. If you're listening and you're watching and you're a player, you could be a guest. I don't care. I'll talk to anyone. I'm talking to Corey Behnke. Why won't I talk to you?
I mean, come on.
Obviously, the standard drop. But what was the most surprising thing that happened today? Let's talk about some real football stuff here. I know you have notes here.
Yeah, I do. I have.
Corey Behnke has notes. I don't know if you have notes on your show. I see you look down once in a while, but it feels like you just argue with whatever Aaron Nagler says. But
I will be honest with you, Matt. The best rants 100% had an outline. They didn't have a script, but they had like this bullet point, because I have a tendency like to use redundancy as like a technique. And so sometimes that can make you look stupid. Like, you know, I'll have a rant and I'll say one word like three times and I'll be like, oh, you moron, why did you say that? But I will say, yes, I did write some notes, but in my notes, I got six things that happened today to me. But I actually think one of the biggest things was Van Lannen getting cut. And I know he's probably going to make the practice squad. Like, everything we're talking about right now, the player, the typically the strategy is they're going to release the player with the idea that, hey, some other team won't want him. He'll get on the practice squad, right? It's this whole hungry hippo strategy where you let the marble go and then you wait and see if the other team can get it. And then you try to get the person. But, you know, the fact that he was the 215th pick in the draft and they let him go, I mean, and it kind of shows, you know, how deep they are at that position. But that was kind of a big surprise. And then, of course, everybody wants to talk about the punter. The punter thing's big. But, I was listening to Andy Herman was talking about, you know, going into this camp. I always like to go back of, like, what were you thinking about 3 or 4 weeks ago? Like, what were you, quote unquote, worried about? Were you worried about seven receivers? Were you about three tight ends? Who's the running back, right? But, like, I feel like the big thing was, like, oh, my goodness, we're going to have so many wide receivers. How many are we going to keep more than seven? And they ended up keeping six, and they ended up keeping the six that pretty much I think everybody thought, even though Begelton had a good camp. And, you know, with the fact of, like, EQ dropping out kind of, and who went on PUP, who had actually really good, who opted out for COVID, help me, Matt. Yeah, Devin Funchess, who had like that sick catch in the first preseason game where he had that diving catch. It was so nice. So we went from like competition and wide receiver to like what happened, right? And now we got six guys that, if you think about it, Adams, Lazard, Malik Taylor, MVS, Cobb, and Amari Rodgers. Like, that's pretty sick right there.
Dude. and like what you said about Funchess, because like I was like, I jumped on that train. I was like, yo, this dude's going to go off.
And I know, right?
I follow all these guys on Twitter and everywhere. And, you know, he was always talking about, like, you know, like grind season. Like, he was working and all these. Not that they're all not working, you know.
Of course.
Yeah. But
He was hyping it.
He seemed so motivated. And then you saw him play preseason games at practice and all these things. And he was just doing special things. So I'm like, I was stoked for him. Didn't work out. But, I'm jacked about this receiver. Dude, this wide receiver group, like, how much it changed in the last couple of years. Like, people were like, get Aaron some weapons.
Yeah.
He's got nothing. And now it seems like, I mean, it seems like he's got some. I mean, it's hard to say he doesn't have no weapons to begin with when he had, like, Devontae. And, like, I was never one of those guys. Like, I felt like he had a good enough. He makes guys better. So, the great receivers that we have, they're just going to be so much better because – it's Aaron Rodgers. I'm jacked about this offense.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, I was talking, I've said this to two, three people this week where it's like, you're watching preseason. The thing that you have to really understand, and most people do, is that, you know, we didn't see Devontae Adams play. We didn't see Aaron Jones play. We didn't see Tonyan play. We didn't see any of the front line. Like, we basically saw none of our offense, and it still was pretty awesome. And that's where, like, there were so many drives. I did this one, and all these people were like, oh, calm down there, buddy. And it was just like, Dylan, touchdown, basically. It was like Dylan 11 times with, like, a couple Taylors sprinkled in and, like, a flag. I think, but it was just sick. And it was like, holy moly, like if this is our offense, like with Aaron Rodgers, we still good. And we didn't even have like six or seven people ever take the field that are the best people at their position. So, you know, it definitely bodes well for the offense, and we'll see about the defense. Like the defense gelling, I think, is going to be, you know, how fast this defense can gel. You know, you got Joe Barry's defense, you got the starters, you got the new kids. You know, like how long does it take to get this together? And also, like, Goody's out there making all these crazy trades on the defense that actually I don't even know enough to talk about them, but they're pretty fascinating, dude. Like, there's two people they just took, and you're just like, what is going on? Like, so, you know, that's all going to settle out in the next 2 weeks, too.
Yeah. If we were smart, we'd have had someone smart come with us and talk about those things that we don't know about.
Well, if you really want to know what happened today, you basically, I would suggest watch Cheesehead TV, Andy Herman and Aaron Nagler talk about it. And you can, if you subscribe to Cheesehead TV and Matt, like, you get both the best of both worlds, you know?
No, I agree. People who watch this show generally aren't looking for information.
No, they're looking for information. Here's what they're looking for. We need a little barometer. How drunk is Matt by a certain part of the show? Like, are we like 15 minutes in? Like, how much was he drinking before? Like, with Nagler during watch party, I have that barometer at like hour two and hour three. So I think that's really why people tune into the show, dude.
Aaron Nagler told me one time on my show where you told him, like, you need to chill, bro. Like, you need to.
I explained the ABV. I was like, bro, just bring your ABV down.
Yeah, that's why I drink. Right now, I'm drinking Spotted Cow. I had some Coors Light earlier. Anyway.
Well, you know how you bring your tolerance up, Matt. You know this.
Drink more? Dude, it's like anything. Like, if you're working out all the time, you know, the first time it's gonna hurt.
Yep.
It's gonna hurt.
Yep.
If you work out every day, it stops hurting as much. I mean, so I'm told. I don't know. I don't work out, but I do drink a lot. So,
but yeah, there's a metaphor there.
Yeah. So I want to bring up Mark over here. Mark's comment. He said MVS 10 tutties this year, and you heard it here first.
All right, Mark.
But I'm so with you. I want to ask you this because I think this could be MVS's year to shine.
Of course, yeah.
Because he gets open. You know, obviously, and I say it's like almost every show that I've ever talked about him on, the drops get over talked about because when you're known as a dropper, kind of like if you're known as an alcoholic, anytime you trip, they're like, he's drunk. Like, this guy's always hammered. Like, no, I just woke up. I just tripped over a toy. They're like, no, he's hammered. It's kind of the same thing with the drop. If you're known as it, or a fumbler, or whatever, yeah. Every time it happens, they're like, oh my God, here we go.
Oh, that's, yeah, yeah.
Meanwhile,
it's your memory Devontae, of the thing, yeah.
Yeah, Devontae drops one, like, well, that doesn't happen often, but, you know, let's brush that off and keep her moving. So what are your thoughts on MVS? I think he's going to ball this year. Like, I think this is his time to shine. This is MVS season.
I mean, I can't agree with you more, and I think there's three reasons for that, and I think the first reason is Devontae Adams, and the second reason is Randall Cobb, and I'll tell you why. And the third reason is MVS, and MVS on an ascension year. I mean, he did everything that was asked of him. He was in the right place at the right time. But I think what's crazy is they're going to use him. Like, I'm so excited. Like, the offense this year, I just feel like is going to be playing chess. Like, and everybody in the NFL is going to be playing checkers. And I know I'm the hype man for the Green Bay Packers. I mean, I wish I was, but, you know, dude, think about this. Like, you got to imagine Aaron Rodgers is going to have a strategy where he's going to basically show teams tendencies for the mere fact that then he's going to use Cobb and MVS as whatever he wants them to. And him and Cobb are on the same page. So he can use Cobb as a decoy. He can use Devontae as a decoy. Like, there's so many things where throughout the season you have, like, amazing minds of people who've been working together for a long time at the highest level. You know, as long as everybody can stay healthy – I don't see – how can you stop our offense? Barely anybody could stop our offense last year.
Yeah, dude. And that thing
– where are we worse on offense? Where? Name a place. Okay, yeah. David Bakhtiari, and that's the one thing that I wanted to bring up, right? It's kind of crazy right now, the fact that David Bakhtiari is going to spend 6 weeks on the PUP, and we're just like, yeah, Elgton Jenkins is cool. He's good. And he's going to, but that's – no teams have that kind of luxury, right? Yeah. But, like – dude, where did we get worse? Okay, I love Jamal Williams, but can you really tell me, can you really tell me, looking at preseason, that A.J. Dillon's not a better number two? And, you know, even Kylan Hill, like, is looking pretty cool, pretty good, too. And Malik Taylor's on the ascent, where he's almost at the level of where an EQ was. So it's like, and Amari Rodgers could be good by the end of the season at, like, where we took him in the draft, if you really think about it, right? That's a bonus. But, like, there are a lot of examples in the NFL of wide receivers taken in the first round that ascend in, you know, week 12, week 11, week 13, week 14, as you're getting closer to the playoffs or even in the playoffs, right?
Yeah. Dude, I agree with, like, everything you said. And not just because I'm a good host. But, like what I was saying, like, as far as, like, motivation factors, Davante Adams is on a contract here, and he wants all that money.
And he's number one.
Yeah,
he wants number one money.
Yeah. He wants every drop. He doesn't. He's counting all of it. Yep. And I don't blame him. You know, nope. I would do the same. Like, I want every penny I got coming to me, and that's just what it is. So he's gonna be like, you know, he's gonna be all balls out. And then Aaron Rodgers, with this offseason, I think he would love to just end this season, win in the Super Bowl, and just flip everybody off and be like. Yep.
And it's what Favre always wanted to do, by the way. If you listen to Favre, like, early in his career, he basically wanted to – originally, I think the vision was you win a Super Bowl and you walk off into the sunset. And you just got to imagine Aaron Rodgers is, like, thinking about that, like, all the time. Like, that's the goal. That's the goal. If there ever was, like, a chip on your shoulder, if there ever was a time to win the Super Bowl, it's Aaron Rodgers, this is the year.
Yeah, because he talked about retirement. Like, he was like, I thought about – even now, so, like, if they won a Super Bowl, he could be like, I won my second Super Bowl. I won more than Favre. I don't know if that matters to him. It would matter to me if I was him. Like that, it would matter to me. So, like, I could retire. I don't play for another team. You know, maybe they build me a statue.
Yep.
Definitely, I'm gonna have streets and people are gonna name their kids after me. That's already happening.
That's but, like, already you know, happening. Yeah, dogs and animals. Yeah.
Like, Donald Driver only played for one team, and, like, you know. Packer fans just love that, and they still love you. Like, if Rodgers happens to go somewhere else, like, I'm not, unless he, like, plays for the Vikings, and it'll only be for that short period of time when he plays for them.
I mean, look at Charles Woodson. I mean, he was a Raider, right? Like, the only thing worse than a Raider, I mean, Raiders are fine, but just, like, it's not really. We take, like, ownership of Charles Woodson as
a fan. We're like, no, he's ours.
Yeah,
It's kind of like your neighbor's dog runs over to your yard. He starts fetching your beers. That's my dog now. He can sleep at your house, but...
Yeah.
Not me. I don't like dogs that much. I shouldn't say that. That's a joke, people,
all
right?
Oh, dear. You're going to have all kinds of... You're going to have emails and all
kinds of... I have two dogs. They're fine dogs. They're good dogs. They do not fetch me beer because I'm a horrible dog trainer, but they're good dogs. They rarely crap on my floor. But,
The last thing, I don't know if you know this, Matt, but we traded for a punter.
Oh, yeah.
We traded a draft pick for a punter.
All right. Before we talk about this, understand that this is a clean show. All right. So, but, like,
oh, yeah, I'm glad for the reminder. Nah, I ranted what I needed to rant. I just think it's ridiculous that we took are there no like rules anymore? Like, are there no, like, do people have any dignity in life anymore? You know what I'm saying? Like, you can get a punter in Australia or New Zealand or Europe. Like, who cares? Like, this whole, like, dude, this whole dance that the Packers made of, like, we took this kid. Oh, he's going to be amazing. And what? Did he boot, like, six amazing punts? Maybe eight? But, like, how long did we wait on this kid? And, like, because we drafted him, and that's why you don't draft punters. Like, I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't get it.
No, but, like,
I don't understand.
Because you were talking about on Twitter about the draft picks. How many draft picks did they spend?
Well, I originally thought three, but they gave one back. And in my head, the idea is you used a draft pick on J.K. Scott, right? So there's a draft pick, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if people tell you this, but, like, in the stock market, it's, you don't chase after money, right? So now I'm like, and there's some reasons to, like, invest more money or whatever. So I'm, you know, you don't necessarily chase after a loss, and J.K. Scott was a loss. So now we're going to try to fix it by losing another draft pick. It's just like, I don't know. It's just funny, like, on the value chain and the proposition across the team and how important a punter is. And I know people are going to be like, it's really important to have a punter. No one cares.
No one cares about the punter.
Yeah, like,
it's just not worth it, dude. It's not worth a draft pick. If you could get an Elgton Jenkins, or you could get a... I'm trying to be a clean show, so I'm going to just stop myself.
I appreciate that. I mean, I get what you're saying, because Donald Driver is a seventh-round pick. Like,
would you rather have Donald Driver or J.K. Scott? Wouldn't you rather have the potential of Donald Driver than J.K. Scott? Even if J.K. Scott was – dude, okay, remember what was it, Ginger Wolverine? What was his name? He was good. He was better than J.K. Scott. Craig Hendrick was better than J.K. Scott.
Yeah. Like
Mason Crosby is better than J.K. Scott. He proved it.
Punters are people, too.
Mason Crosby straight up was like, J.K., come on, bro. I got this. I got you. Like, I'm going to show the Packers. It's over.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Is it a rule they have to have a punter? Because could Mason just do it all, or do they have to use a roster?
I mean, I'm sure if you know, I'm sure, like, there is the averages, right? If you can get a guy that can kick long but stay within the side, and you can get 20 or 30 yards out of it times 10, that's 2,000 yards. Like, it totally becomes a thing where it's like, oh, wow, we can get a lot of yardage and we can actually control the field and all this stuff. So don't get me wrong. A punter is important and special teams are important. But in this game right now today, I mean, even 30 years ago, it was hard to make a case for a punter being a draft pick. I mean, look at the history of draft picks, right? I just don't think it's the – I don't know. It's just not the right game. It's like, why are you in the draft to get a punter? You should spend all the money you're going to do on that and spend that on, oh my goodness, there's like a military Bycraft military plane going over Lambeau right now, like an AC-130. It's pretty cool. Sorry, I wish I could show you, but I can't, so I'm just going to describe it for you, Matt. But, you know, it's like, why don't you spend all that money and go out and send people to Australia, New Zealand, and Europe to find a punter?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm not as upset about it as you are, but, you know, I don't know.
It's funny because I'm just upset about it because it's like, it's just a waste. Now, here's the crazy thing is, like, I never really care about six or seven draft picks, like, in general as a fan, until they do, like, really well or whatever, they get better and whatever, they make the team, et cetera. But I understand the importance and the value of the draft. You know, it's a very, very important place to get players, right? Especially when you're the Green Bay Packers and your whole entire mantra is draft and develop, except punters and kickers.
Yeah. I mean, punters are important, though. I mean, field position and things.
Yeah.
I was really trying to get something out of you with this punter talk. If I was a director in a movie, I would have cut. Let's bring it back. I need a little more out of you.
Nah, you know what? You gotta take a triggering class from Nagler, because he can trigger me better. Yeah. He literally will write. He'll write one sentence, and he'll know, like, if I say this sentence in the right way, and Corey doesn't really know what I'm gonna ask him, so I'm truly like, I'm just an open shell. Man, he's gotten me so many times.
Dude, I think it's funny. Like, for some, I don't know if Grassi's in here, but his people are definitely in here.
Grassi has people.
Richard is more than cash. It's a way of life.
It is definitely a way of life.
Because Tom Grassi was on the show and he just said that about 100 times. I have no doubt he was trying to steal my sponsor here.
Is Tom Grassi trying to get Quick Trip as a sponsor?
No, I don't think he cares about sponsors. But here we go. Dude, I don't know how to stop this. Okay.
You have a lot of those.
Yeah. But so we talked a lot about the offense, all right? Offense is going to be legit. Best offense in the league. Once again, Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, like you mentioned, I think the running game is going to be ridiculous. I don't even know how they use all the weapons that they have. Like, how do they find the time? Like, I feel like Matt LaFleur's been like, can we switch to 90-minute games just so I can get all these guys what they want? You know, they want to touch the ball. Mm-hmm. But Before we go on to the defense, I want to talk about the defense.
Okay.
The Packers play the Saints week one.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not going to be played in New Orleans. They got a lot of things going on over there, and all the best to the people in that side of the country who are dealing with all that stuff. But it's not going to be played. And then they were saying, like, it's going to be played in Dallas. And now they're like, no, it's not there. First of all, I don't get it because Jerry Jones is like, I want him to play it in Dallas. And then, like, they're like, oh, everyone's like, oh, it's going to be played in Dallas. Beautiful. Aaron Rodgers doesn't lose in Dallas. Like, he loves it. And they're like, oh, they have a concert that weekend. Did Jerry Jones not know that?
You know Jerry Jones just tweeted it, dude.
Yeah, I think he was on, like, a radio show or something and said it. Like, I'd love to have it here. We can have it here. Like he was like,
it's kind of okay, like, here's what I don't understand. And everybody, like, Ken Ingles and his math and just like, that doesn't compute in my brain. Okay, I said this on Twitter, okay? And it went, I think it's the right thing to do, okay? It's a football game. There's two football teams on the field. One of them, because of an act of God, cannot be on their field for whatever reason, right? So in a normal situation, because of revenue share, you would just do it at the other person's stadium. You wouldn't do it at a neutral facility. It's not a playoff game. So why wouldn't you bring it to Green Bay? Why give it to Jerry Jones and give him all the revenue? I don't understand. I think it's kind of like if we had an owner and it wasn't Mark Murphy as the president, he'd be fighting for these kind of things. Because guess what? The city of Green Bay gets a game out of this. And I know people are like, well, the Saints get to decide whatever. Hey, if the Green Bay Packers said whatever it is, like $2 million a game, hey, we're just going to give you what you would normally make. We're going to give that to you. And we're going to make the stadium like the Saints. And here's the cool thing. I bet Green Bay fans would get into the spirit of it, by the way, right? Like, hey, we can't make this Lambo or whatever. We make it special for them because they had something wrong happen. And, like, you could turn this – yeah, something horrible happened. We're going to make something good, and we're going to try to, like, not take home field advantage or whatever. And I know that's, like, there's another way to do that with another place, but it's an idea, right? It's so funny. Like, anytime you're trying to brainstorm on social media, you know you're going to get, like, it's like people just want to reply so they can be that first comment that's, like, the asshole reply so that everyone will see that. So it's like this – it's like the whole system is set up to just contrast the thing, even if you're fans of a team. It doesn't make any sense. If we're all fans – what are we arguing about? It's hilarious.
Well, here's my thing. Is like I saw this on Twitter. This is not my original thought, but it popped in my head. Like, what if the Saints played in Green Bay and we promised to do the wave on offense?
Yeah. I think that's reasonable.
It's going to happen anyways.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, I get like there's a whole thing like extra home game for the Packers, extra non-away game. The Saints, but like if it is played in Dallas or any other NFL stadium, like the Saints should get that money. I feel like,
yeah, of course. I mean, that's what I when I tweeted, I was like, they got to get the money, right? But the thing people don't really understand, because God bless them, they put Green Bay. Okay, here's the second biggest team in revenue is this Steagle Rattler. Okay, here is the revenue that Green Bay gets, like not even that much. So it's like you like Jerry Jones makes this much and the city of Green Bay makes this much, you know. It's like, oh my thumb, you know. It's just like it's just people don't really understand the perspective, and so it's one of those things that we should always be explaining, like no, a town of 100,000 people is making this thing happen. They punching up for like 108 years now, right? 104 years, whatever it is. They should get a chance. That's all I'm saying. It's like, dude, when you compare it to like New York or Dallas or even New Orleans is like 8 to 9 times the size of Green Bay. You know, it's like the fact that a small ass, you know, you can always turn the narrative to be like this small town can help America always, you know, by helping it.
Yeah. Because that's what it is. Like if we're having a party at your house, right? And then like, you know, you get drunk on a Thursday night, parties on Saturday. Start the kitchen on fire, you know what happens. They're like, yo, we're about to have the party at my house, but like I started my kitchen on fire. Can we do it at your house? I'm like, all right, got you.
And then yeah, you'd rather hang with your friends than freaking some asshole in Texas who's just a rich oil man.
Yeah, like we'll figure it out. Anyway, shout out to Tyler Herrick. He's tuning in over here in the comments. But yeah, like it's probably not reasonable that they're gonna have it here.
They're not gonna have it here, but you know, we gotta try, Matt. We gotta try.
do we have to voice our opinions?
That's right.
I think our opinions are important.
I mean, I don't think our opinions are important, but I think that we have to try.
Definitely not mine.
No, neither of us.
You have a microphone in front of you. We both do. Opinions have to be shared. And
that's right.
People will take them as they will. But so let's talk about the Packers defense. How good? I saw people commenting earlier. Yeah, I want to get those comment out. Jerry Jones is all about the money. Yeah, he's all about the money. I mean, you don't become a billionaire by not being all about the money. I mean, no billionaire is like, I don't even care. I don't even know how this money got here. But yeah.
Well, some are because their daddy got it for him, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, what happened?
What happened? I was just born like this. It's crazy.
It's wild. I don't know where I'm on a vacation. I'm just going to buy an island. But the Packers defense, all right?
Yes, sir.
Is it going to be great? Because, I pump up the Packers defense every year. That's what I do. I'm it's funny because, someone was saying it today earlier. I was arguing with him. And I was like, dude, I'm basically a Packers cheerleader. And they're like, oh, because – You're trying to bump it up for the Packers front office. Like, dude, I promise you, Goot isn't watching my lives.
No.
He's not right now at home. Like, he makes some good points. I think that's
that. He's taking notes, bro.
Let's bring him in, maybe sober. Let's see what he's got to say. But, no, the front office doesn't know I exist. Maybe they stumbled upon someone's like, hey, look at this dumb guy.
No, that's not true. They know you exist. They just don't listen to you for football information. I think that's more accurate.
I don't know if Goot knows I exist.
Oh, yeah, dude.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, we might have to do, an impersonation. We might have to do, a cross-eyed thing or something. You know that guy? Yeah, the guy. He's at Quick Trip. Yeah, he eats the mac and cheese. Come on, Goot. You know what I'm talking. Nah, he's got the eye, Like kind of is looking at you, but it's not really looking at you. And he's really funny, and he, talks shit about the Vikings and the Bears. Yeah, that guy, He's on Instagram.
I'd be honored. Or, LaFleur, if you ever... Just watch one of my videos. Someone in the locker room one time was like, this guy, I have a few people, Packer players that follow me. Not a break. But if at one point they're like, this guy is so stupid. Look what he's saying. And then just the fact that he might, maybe, probably not. Anyways, let's move on to the Packers defense. I think it'd be awesome. Because Joey.
I feel like it's happened, bro.
Joey the Jaguar.
I can't confirm. I can't confirm. Sources can't confirm, but.
You live across the street. You just yell across there. Do you know who Matt Ramage is, LaFleur? And if he closes.
I'll just hold the sign up right here. Yeah. I do. I'll be honest with you. My office looks right at Coach's office, and I'm always looking out for him, see if he's in there.
He closes blinds. Corey's
You know he does.
He's like, I don't want to be involved in that, creeper. So the Packers defense, do they have the potential to be I wouldn't even say that they have to be a top defense. I think the offense would be so good, but they need to be a defense because in the NFC Championship game,
yeah,
it caused three turnovers. People can say what they want about that game. I don't like talking about that game. Sensitive subject.
Okay, I'm going to be honest with you, though. They did get three turnovers in that game.
They did. I was there. I wasn't there, but I was on TV. I was where I was watching.
You were on YouTube.
But I remember it, and I was
say what you want about Kevin King. The offense had plenty of opportunities in that game to win that game, and so no matter what, that has to be the narrative of that game. But yeah, okay. Here's the real question to me, right? So before I was talking about, hey, did the offense get better last year than this year, do you believe? And I think most people would be like, yeah, and for the reasons I laid out, right? So I think the real question is the defense going, do you think the Packers made improvements on defense this year? And I think, honestly, if you had a chart, you would have it go, some of the lines for some of the positions would go up, and some of them are just a big question mark, right? I mean, Jair Alexander, Z, if we're 100% sure he's there, those are two really anchor players, right? After that, you got Kenny Clark, and Kenny Clark should have a monster freaking year this year. He should be freaking amazing. But where are the green shoots going to come from for all the other guys, right? And then, like I said, they just picked up a guy. They just picked up a defensive tackle or defensive lineman today from the Ravens, I believe. and they just picked up some defensive players. So where are those guys going to shake out? And then I think the draft pick that they took, he looked pretty sick. So there's a lot of green shoots in the Packers defense, but with a new defensive coordinator, what the hell's going to happen? How's Jair going to respond to Joe Barry, right? How's Kenny Clark? How are all the guys going to kind of respond to Barry's defense? And you know what's going to happen. Okay, here's what's going to be funny, right? So we had Pettine, right? And there was this time where it's like, okay, Pettine got to a level where it just becomes like, oh, this again, right? And you could kind of feel that happen in the preseason, right? That the middle's like just the middle, you're just like, really? Really? And you know, it's the preseason, so you're like, hey, it's our second and third string playing. But it's like, how long is it going to take Packer fans? I feel like this is a very short leash, right? Where, oh, as soon as we see, like, somebody catches it in the middle and they drive down the field and bend but don't break starts to show its face. Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, you know Twitter is going to lose its mind. And you got to think that's going to happen in the beginning of the season. I could be completely wrong, but I think this defense is going to have to find its way. I mean, right?
Dude, it drives me nuts when a guy is, like, over the middle. Like, no one's near him. It's like Madden and glitz. It's like, why is no one over there? Like, why, like, this big tight end or whatever is just running across the middle of the field and everyone is just, like, standing around, like what's happening? And I get it. But, like, I have big hopes for the Packers defense because I'm a very hopeful fellow. I'm very optimistic. I feel like the pass rush is going to be ridiculous. I think Preston Smith's going to come on strong this year. Got Zadarius. He's got a little injury thing going on. I think Rashawn Gary is going to beast.
I didn't bring Rashawn Gary up 100%.
Yeah, he's going to just feast. I think he's hungry. He's going to do some things like the pass rush. And then, you know, you got Kenny Clark. You know, you got, I think the pass rush will be all right. And then they got the young corner. Jair's going to do like Jair type of things, you know, like not people won't throw to him. They'll just be like, I think it's funny because like it's almost like if you got to switch lanes, like you're in a 4-lane highway. And like the left is wide open, like you got no danger. Look in the mirror, nobody's in that lane. I could switch lanes all day long, or I could go in this lane and possibly sideswipe that Corvette who's speeding by. I'm gonna go in this lane over here. It's kind of how it is with Jair. Like, why throw to him a ton unless you got like a wide open shot, or unless the quarterback just has like an ego, like, oh, I can throw at him, you know. But he's covering him. He's doing well, so they're gonna pick on everybody else. Everyone else is gonna have like their moments, and I don't know. We'll see what the secondary. I like Savage, I like Amos. I like all the guys, but like that number two corner situation, Kevin King, I think he gets beat on more than he deserves. NFC Championship game, that is a thing. But like, obviously that's gonna happen.
But I mean, look at this. I mean, this is what I'm kind of talking about. It's like,
all right, tell me.
So you got Darnell Savage, Adrian Amos. This is the Adrian Amos. This is the first string defense, right? Kevin King, Jair Alexander. Okay, so Amos probably will have as good or a better year as last year. Hopefully, Darnell Savage like gets on the plus side this year. He had some green shoots. Zadarius. Then you got inside linebacker Devondre Campbell, Chris Barnes, Preston Smith, Kingsley Keke. And that's the thing. Like, inside linebacker, it's like, we got this hole, right? And then it's like, yeah, Kenny Clark, and what's weird, and T.J. Slayton is who I was going to talk about before. T.J. Slayton had that sick sack where he just bull rushed into the quarterback in the second preseason game. That was pretty sick. But, like, there's a lot of question marks there, especially at inside linebacker. And even, you know, I think a lot of people are going to talk about, you know, Kevin King and, like, when is Eric Stokes going to make a play for Kevin King's job, if ever, this season?
Yeah, I think that'll be interesting to see how long it takes. Like, I'm the last person. I ain't no scout.
You're not?
No, you should listen to Andy Herman. He might have some insight. I don't know. someone probably does, like, have like, a thought. Like, if it's going to be week five, is it going
to it's rare. It's rare for a cornerback to take over in that first year, but it has happened, especially where Eric Stokes was taken. So it can happen, certainly. But I think that's something to look at. I mean, that's the thing. Our defense, like, how good – when you say – if I said, hey, Matt, how good was our defense last year, what would you say?
I would say they're better than most people thought. But the thing is, they got to the NFC Championship game. They got three turnovers. I'm not saying that they're great and, like, they're, like, the best defense in the league or whatever. But like the fact that
but
they
do you think that are... most but do you think if I ask like if you just like if you and I just like polled if you and I just walked around the stadium right like 2 hours before the game okay so a little bit better mix of diehards I would say a little bit like at least you know like 15% diehards versus like you know a 5% normal mix you'd have at like Stadium View or Anduzzi's or somewhere so if you polled okay this is you and I speculating so this is really fascinating content but if you and I you and I poll Packer fans that watched the playoff the last game of the season last year and said who do you think was responsible for the Packers losing that game what do you think the percentage that said defense and what do you think the percentage that said offense I feel like it's like 80-20 bro
I'm gonna say like 75% say defense
yeah
the thing is like That interception or that touchdown before half, like, broke my soul.
Yeah.
Like, when that happened. First of all, I hate touchdowns before
well,
half.
That's so true. That's the memory. It's like that memory attaches to your brain. Yeah.
I don't know if it actually did, like, for the team, like, if they, but, like, during halftime, during the whole game, that's what I was thinking about. Like, broke my soul, broke my spirit. And, you know, the next day I was sad about it. That's what people remember because I obviously changed the game. It like changed how both teams played the game. And then they had three turnovers. I mean, nobody remembers that. I remember that because that's what I always argue when people talk about Brady. I like Brady. I defend Brady more than any Packer fan does. But the fact is, people are like, oh, Brady won this. Oh, no, he threw three interceptions. That defense for the Buccaneers, I don't want to talk about the NFC Championship game. I get sad. But
I mean, what's funny about that team, and yeah, I think you make a really good point, and I do think it's funny because Brady does get all the credit, but the reality is that defense just overpowered the last two teams it played to win the Super Bowl, and it really was evident. It was less evident against us, and I'm really interested to see because. For some reason, and this is completely like, I don't know where I'm pulling this from. This is not like some kind of objective science fact, but I just feel like I have more faith in Matt LaFleur finding the key that unlocks a certain type of thing coming at him than I do for Mike McCarthy. Right? Like, I feel like Matt LaFleur, he's going to take whatever demon he got or whatever that thing that beat him. And he's going to like, it's not going to haunt him. He's just going to be like, all right, here are like a million ways I'm going to break down this chess match and I'm going to beat that next time I see it. Right.
Yeah.
That's my hope anyway.
Yeah. Because like the same thing, like with McCarthy when he was young, which Matt LaFleur is, especially as a head coach. Remember Mike McCarthy was always saying, oh, that's a learning experience. He learned a lot. Mm-hmm. I remember him saying that a lot.
Learned on the job.
Yeah, some bad, horrible thing would happen. Like, well, that's a learning experience. I can't do that at my job. Like, you know, I screw up. You know, I work at a cheese factory to screw up a bunch of stuff. And then bosses yell at me like, well, I guess we learned a lesson on that one, didn't we?
But like, and your boss is like, yeah, I'll teach you a lesson.
But like LaFleur, like the whole thing, how the game ended, everyone's talking about kick the field goal, this or that. But like, as a new coach, like, dude, you're making those decisions so quick. I'm not even saying it's a right or wrong decision because, dude, like, I'm not a head coach. Like, if I played Madden, bro, I suck. Like, I'm not bad, but, like, decision-making, like, I play on franchise mode within, like, 3 years. The franchise is broke. It's horrible. I had to turn off the salary cap. It's the whole thing. So, like, I'm not going to start scrutinizing these guys who are professionals, but I think he'll learn. He'll get better. I think he's a good offensive mind. I think everyone's going to be happy this year. Aaron Rodgers is all like doing the whole happiness thing. I'm pumped up. I think LaFleur, you know, whether he was right or wrong, he learned a lesson. I don't know. I'm pumped up for the season. I think the defense will be good enough.
That's my hope. Yeah. The defense never had. Yeah. It's like if we can crack the top 15 in some stats, you know, between 10 and 15, we're good. I mean, and if turnovers can be in the top 10, the Green Bay Packers have shown in the history of the Green Bay Packers, when we can get our turnovers in the top 10 in the NFL, we are a team to beat in the NFL always. So
yeah, because you have extra possessions and you have Aaron Rodgers. Like, you get some turnovers, no matter how you do it, punch the ball, trip them. I don't care what you got to do. Get the turnovers, get some extra possessions, but it doesn't always work either. We did that in the NFC Championship game. But, I think overall, I'm pumped up. I think the Packers win 13 games again. I know there's an extra game in there. I think Matt LaFleur goes 13
so
wins.
They're gonna lose. So they're gonna lose the extra game. That's what you're That's what you're predicting.
I'm
right
saying
now?
Minimum.
Got it.
Because I'm very hopeful. Like, dude, I go through every year like the schedule, and I never see a loss. I guaranteed the Packers would be the Buccaneers twice last year. Not even that's predicted it. I guaranteed it.
Dude, what if we're the first team in NFL history to go 17-0?
There you go. That's. I don't know if I'd want to go 17-0 because
then you got to win the Super Bowl.
And my brother's over here watching. What's up, bro?
There you go.
Super Bowl. My brother's watching.
We win in the Super Bowl.
We win in the Super Bowl, baby. Dude,
why don't you want to go 17-0? Because there's too much pressure in the playoffs.
There's too much pressure. Yeah, and in the playoffs and the Super Bowl, they I would love to. I mean, I'm not going to be like. I'm not gonna lie.
What if we went 17-0, won the Super Bowl? Would we be the greatest team of all time? And would Aaron Rodgers be the greatest quarterback of all time?
Definitely, without doubt, it'd be any team that does that with a great quarterback. Because like, if you have a great defense and like average quarterback, then it'd be the greatest defense ever. But yeah, like definitely. But I think it's fun to talk about. People get mad when you talk about those things. Like,
why?
Oh my god,
because
so
you're jinxing
cocky.
It.
They're like, the haters are you're cocky. The Packer fans, like, you're jinxing. You have no idea the power people think I have. Because I'll say this. Like, I'm like, they're going to win the game. Like, oh, he's jinxing us. I'm like, dude, I don't have the power. Dude, I'm sitting on my couch. I got a bag of Cheetos, a couple Coors Lights lined up. We're having a good time. I don't have any effect what Aaron Rodgers is going to do. That's on him, bro. Don't put that on me.
Yeah, no. You have zero effect on it. I always find that it's more fun. I don't know. It's always more fun to be a Packer fan and think that they're going to do good than think that they're going to suck.
Yeah, because it's more fun. That's
just
why,
more
like,
fun to live your life that way.
Yeah, because I troll Viking fans in the off season because they're always like, this is our year, Cowboy fans. You know, they're all – but I'm like, I get it. Dude, why would you want to go into a season thinking you suck? Like, yep. Even if you know you do, like, even if you have a piece of crap car, that every time you go out to your driveway, you're just like, please, God, let this thing start. I've had those cars. And then you still want to pump it up, you know what I mean? You still
you're still like no one else can yell at it, and like you have to like you have to like hold it and like okay Nelly, okay Brett, it's okay.
Yeah, you still got this, you know, the seat cover. You still put the little dice on the wheel, air things. You know what I mean? You still like there's some good parts. It's kind of like
it's got a personality.
Yeah, you know, you don't know my car like that. Kind of like family. You know, you got like a cousin everyone talks about. Maybe he's an alcoholic or something. And you could say that, but like someone outsider, like, your cousin's an alcoholic. You don't talk about him like that. He's a good guy. He's a good dad.
He's a good dad.
Something like that. You know what I mean? Green Bay Packers winning the Super Bowl. Anyways, we got Corey Behnke in the building, everyone. Cheesehead TV has AJ Dillon. This season, every Monday night, unless the Packers play Monday night, which they do a couple times, I think.
Yep.
And then it'll be Tuesday. But check out Cheesehead TV. They're on Facebook. A lot of people don't know they're on Facebook. A lot of people do. They have a lot of followers on Facebook. But there's some people who don't know. Check out Cheesehead TV on Facebook. I think they're on TikTok now. They're over there.
We're on TikTok.
Aaron Eckler over there dancing, getting his groove on.
I hope he's not dancing. I haven't seen it in a while. That would
Aaron Eckler's
me.
On TikTok, too. But also, Cheesehead TV. They're on Instagram. Go give them a follow on Instagram. Obviously, Twitter. I don't have to tell you that. They have like 3, 4, 6, 9 times the followers I have on Twitter. They've been doing it since the beginning. But Cheesehead TV is a must-watch this season, as always. AJ Dillon, it's going to be a great show. I think it's going to be bigger than the Mike McCarthy show.
Oh, wow. Bold prediction.
That. You know what's funny? I'm going to talk about this real quick. I remember watching the Mike McCarthy show. I actually love Mike McCarthy.
Me too.
I will always love Mike McCarthy. He's got a good street.
Mike McCarthy way.
So I'm watching this Hard Knocks. My wife's over here watching.
Okay. Yep.
Mike McCarthy swears a lot. He swears a lot, which, like, obviously coaches swear, players swear, people swear. Not in this show, Corey.
No, but, not on this show, Matt.
But I was watching. I'm like, whoa, Mike McCarthy really. I love it though. I'm like, dude, this dude's. The Hard Knocks. I usually don't get into it. And it's like I don't feel like any of it's that real.
Yeah.
But the Cowboys, just because Mike McCarthy, I love. He's just yelling at them, and like the stuff he's yelling, I feel like That's why I like him, because he's yelling the good. I don't want to say it because it's this is a clean show. plus, I don't remember everything. But Hard Knocks is actually pretty good this year. Have you watched any of it?
No. I just can't. I can't watch Jerry Jones. Like, it just sucks because, like, no, I know, but it's just like, you know, look, like, I have for over a decade said the Green Bay Packers should do that. And then as a fan, I'm like, no, don't do that. But like, as a businessman, I'm like, you should do that, right? Because like, it gets your brand out there. And I know people are going to be like, why do the Packers need to get their brand out there? But it's like, literally, the Dallas Cowboys wrote a book on how to make money in the NFL. And the NFL is using that blocking tackle and putting all their 31 teams behind it. I mean, what's crazy is that Dallas makes as much money as it does. It's the number one franchise in all 32 teams. And New York is like 100 times the size of Dallas last time I checked. So it's like, yeah, it's like, I don't know. I can't I can't watch the Cowboys. No,
he knows how to make money. Yeah.
You know, Matt, I don't know. You know, you're not too much younger than me, bro. But there's a 20-year-old Corey Behnke that, I can't let that 20-year-old down, you know? I can't. The 1995 and 96 Packers, you know, 97 Packers, 93 Packers. You know, I can't watch the Cowboys play practice. Like, no, I can't. I can't.
No, I only watch a very little bit.
That's America's team, Matt. That's America's team. You know what I'm saying?
See, my brother's in here, and he's totally agreeing with you because –
F all that. And I want to curse on your show because I hate that I just said that, but I said that just to kind of trigger you for a second. But yeah.
No, because that's why my brother's agreeing with you, because when we were kids, like we had friends who were Cowboys fans, and it would be like, remember the Cowboys talking about practice or playing the Packers? Oh, playing the Packers is nice. It's kind of like practice. Like, I hate the Cowboys. Those 90s Cowboys, and even when the Packers won the Super Bowl 31, we didn't have to play the Cowboys. I think the Niners beat the Cowboys.
Yeah, and then we beat Panthers, right?
We went around them, and like, whatever. I don't feel bad for that at all. But no. Like, I hate the Cowboys. Like, that Cowboys, whenever I'm on NFL Network and Michael Irvin's there, I hate Michael Irvin. I don't like him. I don't hate him personally. I hate him as a football player.
Well, it's why it's the same thing about Aikman, too, where it's like,
yeah, I don't like
it's him. Like Aikman, you know, Nagler and I get in so many battles about like, oh, he's not biased, all this shit. It's like, no, he is biased. And you know what the other thing is not only is he biased, but he doesn't even understand the perception that most Packer fans that grew up when I did have of him, and he doesn't go against it, which is worse to me, right? Like, like if everyone thinks I'm an asshole and I have a job, right? Asshole's okay to say, right?
Probably. Let's
okay. So if everybody thinks I'm an asshole, but then I have a job to do, right? And like, I have to convince people like, hey, I'm not really this person. You just thought I played that on TV. You know, you would kind of like be a little bit more professional about it. But instead, he basically, you know, if you literally go line by line and listen to his commentary over the last 12 years, anytime the Packers are playing the Cowboys, listen to it. It is biased as a mofo. Okay. I'm sorry.
It definitely. No, I don't like Troy Aikman. I like Buck though. I think Buck is good. I think he's good at what he does.
Yeah, he's really good. He's a professional. I mean, here's the thing, dude. If you grew up with your dad doing it and you're not good at it, you kind of suck. Yeah. Like, you kind of got to be good at it. It's like, you know, Kevin Harlan's family, you know? It's like Kevin Harlan's really good at it, so Olivia should be good at it. I know that sucks for people, but it's like nepotism works both ways, right? And so Joe Buck's that guy where it's like, if he's so good, but his dad was so good too, you know? So it's like, you know.
Yeah, that's why my son is such a good driver.
And your son's good at making cheese, right?
No. He's going to do better than that. But anyways. So Cowboys suck. I'm going to end this thing. I have to pee so bad. Corey Behnke, my favorite person to have on my show, I think. We always have fun. I think Corey's good. He's the better half of Cheesehead TV. No
disrespect. Oh, snap. Now you're laying it down.
Oh, we got to say it. We got to clip that. I love Aaron Nagler. He's good stuff, too. But anyway, thanks, everyone, for tuning in. You can if you just tune in late, you can catch us on the audio. If you're listening on the audio, it's also on YouTube. You should probably subscribe on YouTube, and you should follow me in other places. You know, do all the things. Rate me. Make sure that's clear.
Yeah, I was about to say. I just want to make sure I heard that right. Okay.
Rate me. Anyways.
Yep.
Go Pack Go. Thank you for Corey Behnke.
Thank you.
TV every Monday night. AJ Dillon. All right, go Pack, go people.
It's Green Bay when that pack come. Watch when it touchdown. Intercept.